Welcome to iFormRx, where we explore the evidence that matters to ambulatory care pharmacy practice. Today we'll be discussing the use of nicotinamide to prevent skin cancer. The incidence of skin cancer has continued to climb despite the wide availability and use of sunscreens. Thus, a readily available, inexpensive, and highly effective strategy to prevent skin cancer in high-risk individuals would certainly be welcomed. Joining me today is Dr. Jihan Saib and Dr. Beth Phillips from the University of Georgia College of Pharmacy in Athens, Georgia. Dr. Saib and Phillips practice at a community-based outpatient clinic in Athens, Georgia, as part of the Charlie Norwood VA Medical Center system. Jihan and Beth wrote a commentary for iFormRx entitled Beyond Slip, Slop, Slap, and Wrap, Vitamin B3 for Skin Cancer Prevention, in which they critically examined the recently published ON-TRACK study, which appeared in the New England Journal of Medicine in October 2015. Jihan, thank you so much for joining me today for the iFormRx podcast.
Thank you, Dr. Haynes. It's a pleasure to be here.
So my first question, if you had to briefly summarize in four sentences or less, the study entitled Phase 3 Randomized Trial of Nicotinamide for Skin Cancer Chemo Prevention to someone who hasn't read the paper, what would you say?
Well, this was a large randomized controlled trial examining the safety and efficacy of nicotinamide, also known as vitamin B3, in reducing the rates of new non-melanoma skin cancers, which includes basal and squamous cell carcinomas, and actinic keratoses in patients who had at least two non-melanoma skin cancers in the previous 5 years. Patients in the study received nicotinamide 500 milligrams twice daily or placebo for 12 months. The authors found a statistically significant reduction of new non-melanoma skin cancers and actinic keratoses in the intervention group compared to the control group. No difference in the rate of adverse events was noted between the groups. However, 6 months after discontinuing nicotinamide, the benefits noted during the treatment period were not maintained.
So in critically examining the study methodology, Jihan, what would you say are the major strengths, potential weaknesses, and the limitations of the ON-TRACK study?
Randomization, double blinding, and low dropout rates were major strengths of this study. We think it was useful to have a comparator group. One of the limitations of this study is the study duration. This trial was conducted over a 12-month period, and the beneficial effects largely dissipated within 6 months after discontinuation. So long-term effects of nicotinamide remained unclear. Concomitant sunscreen use was high in this population, but we know that sunscreen is not applied as frequently as it should be in high-risk populations. Also, the authors did not include patients receiving immunosuppression therapy in the study. This is a group of patients who could derive great benefit from chemopreventive treatment because of the increased risk of non-melanoma skin cancers.
So nicotinamide is widely available without a prescription, and it's relatively inexpensive. So on the surface, this looks like a great option to prevent the most common forms of skin cancers that we see in the United States and, in fact, worldwide. While basal and squamous cell carcinomas aren't as aggressive as malignant melanoma, they can be disfiguring and, if left untreated, can invade local tissue. And although it's kind of rare, they can be fatal. What are your thoughts about the benefits and risks of nicotinamide as a chemo preventative for skin cancer? Should we be routinely recommending it to patients at high risk?
This study showed that nicotinamide was a safe and effective method to prevent occurrence of new non-melanoma skin cancers and actinic keratoses in patients with a history of non-melanoma skin cancer. This was also consistent with results found in the Phase 2 trial. However, more studies are needed to assess the efficacy of nicotinamide in patients with previous history of basal cell carcinomas, since the findings were not significant in this population. We think that nicotinamide could be an appropriate option for patients with previous history of non-melanoma skin cancers because of its low cost and favorable safety profile. However, we do not know the duration of therapy and if there are any potential long-term adverse events. Overall, when we think about high-risk patients, we know that there are so many patients that we see in our clinic that are considered high-risk. We know that skin cancer lesions are on the rise, especially here at the VA. A lot of our patients already have diagnoses of skin cancer, but this study didn't focus on primary prevention. Mainly studied patients with at least two non-melanoma skin cancers the previous 5 years. So we will mainly recommend it for this specific population.
So, Shaheen, I want you to imagine you have a 54-year-old male who's well-known to you, and he tells you that he's had numerous skin biopsies over the years, two of which were positive for skin cancer. One lesion on his shoulder was a basal cell carcinoma, and the other lesion, which was on his lateral thigh, was a squamous cell carcinoma. He's fair-skinned, so it's perhaps not surprising that he's prone to developing skin cancers. He explained that he's worried about developing additional skin cancer lesions, and he's most worried, for obvious reasons, about developing malignant melanoma. He's reasonably good about slipping on clothing that cover up his skin when he's outdoors, slopping on the sunscreen, slapping on a hat, and using sunglasses. Would you recommend nicotinamide for this patient? And if so, what product and what dose would you recommend? And if not, what strategies would you recommend instead?
Well, it appears that this patient takes the appropriate precautionary measures to prevent future occurrence of skin cancer, which is great. Given the history of squamous cell carcinoma, this patient could be a candidate for nicotinamide for skin cancer chemo prevention to prevent occurrence of new squamous cell carcinoma lesions and actinic keratoses. These are the precancerous lesions that can lead to the development of squamous cell carcinoma in the future. We believe that this patient would benefit from a discussion about the unestablished long-term safety of nicotinamide. We would recommend initiating nicotinamide 500 milligrams twice daily with daily sunscreen use. Although no changes in renal or hepatic function have been noted, we do recommend obtaining serum creatinine and liver function tests at baseline and yearly thereafter to monitor for any changes, as was conducted in the study. From a patient perspective, we know that adhering to twice daily medication could be a barrier. Therefore, we recommend patients use strategies to improve adherence to nicotinamide, such as using the pill organizer or scheduling a phone reminder.
Well, I want to thank you, Drs. Shaheen and Phillips, for joining us on the iFormRx podcast and sharing with us your thoughts regarding the OnTrack study and the use of nicotinamide to prevent skin cancer. It's clear from your comments that you believe nicotinamide may have a role in patients who have a history of skin cancer lesions, particularly if they have squamous cell carcinoma. However, we need to learn more about the long-term safety and effectiveness of nicotinamide before we routinely recommend it to patients. But tell us what you think. Should we recommend nicotinamide to patients who are at high risk and have had previous skin cancer lesions? Post a comment. Only members of iFormRx can post comments. Sign up today. It's free. Until next time, this is Stuart Haynes, editor-in-chief of iFormRx, signing off.